Hi, I'm Greg Mangum, founder and voluntary CEO of Only a Pavement Away, the charity that supports people looking to rebuild their lives through employment opportunities in hospitality. Welcome back to our podcast series, Serving Success. Today I'm joined by Nick McKenzie, CEO of Green King and one of our leading ambassadors, and Graham Briggs, the social lead at Green King, who's also an advisor for the charity, and two guys who both personally do a lot for us, and Green King, who are, I'd have to say, our main supporters. And this is, I think the best way to start this off is to thank you for your support for another relationship manager in our campaigns for this year. And I know in tough times of the hospitality industry that you don't forget us, and that donation is a biggie for us. So let's kick off. I'll try not to do all the talking. Nick, can you walk us through your journey to becoming CEO of Green King? You know, what sparked your passion for hospitality and your time at Merlin?
Yeah, look, first of all, thank you for having us. It's good to be here. You're really good at this, Greg, I have to say. Your introductions are good.
I'm so pleased. You look so surprised, Nick.
Yeah, two minutes in already.
I really like the idea of being a voluntary CEO. I'm wondering whether I'm an involuntary CEO of Green King. Look, I've been in hospitality all my career. Started off way back in the day in the early 90s at Bass PLC, which you'll know quite well.
Yes, yeah.
Greg, in hospitality. Background is property, actually, in real estate. But I've always been in hospitality through Bass, through Allied Domecq. I worked for Diageo for a while, and then 17 years for Merlin, which was a big part of my life, big part of my career, and I guess really gave me the passion for hospitality. And then, you know, as ever with these things, you get a bit of luck, and someone approached me about becoming CEO of Green King, and that wasn't a tough decision given the fact we own 2,700 pubs,
yep.
We own a brewery, we own lots of hotels and whatever, and it's a great business. So, well, it was a bit of luck, as these things are normally, but also a passion for pubs and passion for hospitality. And yeah, it's been a very interesting 7 years, I have to say.
Yeah, I bet it has. Yeah, with everything that's going on in the industry and all the challenges we face. Graham, social lead and the person who gets all my emails. I've been dying to ask you this, and I don't want to put you on the spot. What do you do?
I think simply we get to do the amazing stuff for Green King. Like, really, when we talk about the purpose of we pour happiness into lives, myself and my team get to do that on a daily basis. I think when we look at it, what we're trying to achieve, we've got so many key initiatives and partnerships, and it's about enhancing that community reputation and really looking after our team members, driving that engagement. And that comes through our social mobility programs. So obviously we've got our Releasing Potential program, which is why we're here today, where we've got our supported internships. We do a lot to get people into work and really breaking down those barriers into employment. And then on the other part, we've got our charity partners and our community engagement initiatives. So we're obviously working with our national charity partner in Macmillan, supporting local causes and really trying to enhance the role of how the pub shows up within those communities. And then the other side, which isn't so glamorous all the time, is just trying to influence the policy sometimes and break down those barriers to really benefit employers and people get into employment. But managing partnerships as well, and obviously you being our leading strategic partner in this space, is key.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if people know out there, but bloody, you can't mention custodial and not mention Green King. You know, so I'd say to every other industry, if they can find a Green King, then they've cracked it, because what you've done for custodial is phenomenal. And I probably don't think the media shout about it enough. And again, what you've done for Macmillan, you know, something that every family and every person in this country is touched by. What, you're up to 18 million now on Macmillan?
It's actually 26 million now is what we're up to.
Right. And I guess the point is, and you're probably underselling it a little bit what you do, but, you know, we have four strategic goals in the business.
Yeah.
You know, and the others talk about profit and they talk about driving margin. Obviously, we talk about customer a lot, but the fourth pillar for us and equally important is what we call positive impact for all. And that's having an impact on not just, you know, society, which I think is really important, but our employees, and doing the right thing for the industry and doing the right thing for, I guess, society as a whole. And, you know, there is a benefit, a business benefit to what we do. And that business benefit really does shine through, particularly when we talk about our Releasing Potential and our work with prisons and the work we do with you. So
yeah.
we're not just doing it because we want to be nice. We're doing it because we think we can have a positive impact on the industry, on our people, our teams and our customers. And Graham and the team are a massive part of that.
Yeah, I don't think it can ever be forgotten what Graham does. I mean, I'd hate to do this because we're good mates. But he is phenomenal out there. And, you know,
I think if every employer had a Graham, then we'd be getting 1,000 prison leavers into work.
I don't want to make him blush, but it's a great job, and there's a
a team behind as well, and it's support from the wider business. We're just fortunate enough, we're at the forefront of what we're trying to deliver, and just trying to, I know we'll come onto it, of like how you get that business-wide engagement, but also benefit in the wider sector.
Digging deeper on the custodial initiatives, talk about that. What are these initiatives? I know them, but for employers out there who are thinking, should I dip my toe in the water?
Yeah, so I mean, our Release in Potential programme is one of our social mobility initiatives, all designed to tackling reoffending. So it's creating opportunities for those that have either left prison or are looking to leave prison, where we can offer meaningful employment to those people and actually showcase what a career you can still go on to achieve despite whatever barriers and obstacles you've overcome in your life. And that is something that we've grown over a period of time. We started, obviously, 2019. We've gone on to now support over 350 people into employment, and we've launched 4 academies, and we just continue also raising awareness. So whilst we can't necessarily take on every candidate, it's also just trying to really showcase what can be achieved and make people aware that just because they have made a mistake somewhere along, that there's still opportunities there and we can hopefully point them in the right direction, and that's where the partnership really shows up.
And so what are these academies?
So the 4 academies we've got are training people up. So we've got our food and drink trainers are working, and some of our managers are in our academies. They're training people up on a weekly basis through the food menus that we've got in our pubs. So they're learning about the dishes that we serve, and they're gaining qualifications along the way. So that would be a City and Guilds or a Scottish vocational qualification. And the whole intention is there, we're building that future talent pipeline. So when they are released, they can come into our pubs, they can hit the ground running because they already know more about our business than somebody else that may join from day one. And so that's why we're going from strength to strength on that. And we're looking at how we can, you know, scale that program even more.
And I think that takes away the misperceptions, doesn't it, of not of people of prison leavers, but of the prison leavers of our industry, you know, that it is sort of not, I'm going to be working 100 hours a week on 30 pence an hour and some mad chef swearing at me. It's actually an exciting, buzzing industry where in a year's time I can be an assistant manager or a general manager in a pub. I think what the academies do is open up a mindset for people who normally would go into construction.
Yeah, and you've met firsthand some of those people that have gone through the academy, how they've come on to join Green King, they've progressed, they've been promoted, they've actually then given back into society where they've come along to different events, they've talked at your conferences, they've gone back into prison to actually engage people. And we know that before, when we first started on the programme, trying to have people that would talk about their experience was a challenge because they wanted to just return to society and not necessarily talk about their past. But we're seeing, as the programme evolves, we're seeing more and more people step up and actually want to do this, which is a positive sign, and it's showing that they can trust us, and they can also, they know they'll be supported, and it's they feel it's all to do with the values that they've got as well within themselves.
Yeah, and I think the other point is, you know, and this is where you guys come in as well, it's the sort of end-to-end process here of starting off by explaining and trying to make sure people understand the opportunities hospitality and pubs in our case can give to people in terms of a career. And I think, you know, as an industry we struggle with getting that perception out there that there are incredible careers you can have, and the pace you can move at in terms of career development in our industry is probably second to none. So I think getting that message out there. And I think the other thing I was like really, really proud of, when you start to hear about people who, you know, maybe had no thought about coming into hospitality, they've got involved in one of the programs in prison. So we're training people in prison through the academies and through, you know, the programs, Graham and the team, people like Lynn, who are just incredible in prison, getting people to actually take up the opportunity. But then once you've taken the opportunity, there is a job at the end of it, which is important. The support that you guys as a charity provide, which helps. But also what I'm proud of is people get qualified. People who are now doing apprenticeships who have been on those schemes and are progressing. So if you think about that, you've got support, you've got training in prison, you've got training and support when you get out, and then ultimately you can get a qualification and you can progress to general manager. And that, I think, is the message, is like, you know, this doesn't have to be a quick 2-month job when you come out of prison. This can be a career.
We do have somebody that's come through the program running one of our pubs. That's brilliant because she's earned that through her own right. she's achieved that, and that's something that's hopefully she's going to go strength to strength, and we'll see more and more of it where people just are integrated into our business and are treated like any normal employee, and that's the key part to the success.
And don't you think that that's a cultural thing as well?
Yeah, it sort of builds on, you know, after, you know, as Graham's talked about, we've been doing this for quite a long time, and we have learned quite a lot along the way, and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't work for everybody, and we know that there are challenges that, that people face into, but the people who are involved in the process, whether that's the general managers of the pubs where people are going to work in their kitchens or front of house, need to learn and understand the needs of someone coming out of prison. And part of that is understanding, you know, some of them don't want to promote the fact they've come out of prison, and that is fine. But also, you know, I think the more we do it and the more people we bring through and the more pubs that get involved and the more area managers that get involved, you get a much higher level of understanding. And, you know, it isn't easy. And I think the reason we do it is, you know, when we and when times are hard, you have to really focus on the things where you can have impact. You know, we've talked about McMillan is a big area for us. But actually, our partnership with Only Pavements Away is a big part of our overall programme, because we know through this programme we can have real impact, both in terms of the numbers we can bring into the business, and we'd love to have more if we could make that happen, but also the impact it then has on society and actually getting great people to come and work for us, who, to be honest, when they do come and work for us and they get settled, they stay with us longer than a normal, an average employee.
And I'm probably going to put you on the spot here and digress a little bit. A lot of it is cultural and ethos. And what I found with Grinking is not the, the Nick and Graham initiative.
No.
Anybody I talk to, any of your board, your area managers, regional managers, outlet managers, they talk about McMillan, they talk about the custodial releasing potential. How do you get that through an organisation? Because everybody sort of says, oh, you know, it's difficult getting this. What is that culture that everybody has the same mindset as you two?
When we started in 2019, it was important that we took the rest of the business on that journey with us. So from the two pilots that we did with yourself, we did one in London and we did another one in the Northwest with some of the open prisons. And we invited general managers and area managers to be part of that. And as Nick's alluded to, it didn't necessarily all go brilliantly well, did it, first time round. We learned from those lessons that those operators got an understanding of what we're trying to achieve. And from there, we've just evolved, and we've always tried to open it up so people can get involved in different ways. It might be supporting you at your events. It could be coming to the prison to meet with people. It's that referrals that we're getting of candidates and making people aware we've got this initiative, talking about those business benefits. And that's the main thing. There's a business benefit here to be made, as well as it's good to do from a cultural and values point of view. When you're talking to the operators and you can say that we can help you, when you're talking 91% are moving into back of house positions, it's clear that when you're still struggling with chefs and we can find that talent for you and they do stay longer, as it's already been mentioned, you can see how they can start to build their workforce around some of these candidates that we've got. And it's just emphasising that message of how it's aligned to the goals and everything as well, and making people aware.
People in our business and wider pubs, wider hospitality, I think naturally they want to get involved in things like this, that they are people who want to help others generally. You know, I always think with things like McMillan, because people have personal connection to it, you know, most people will know someone who's been affected by cancer.
Yeah.
Many, many people have worked through McMillan. All their customers might have been affected. So actually then people get more and more involved. And we've been really single-minded as a business to say that's the charity we're backing. And everyone's got behind that. And I think that's quite important. And more so now in terms of promoting what we do with Only a Pavement Away, that is becoming almost a single-minded message about what we do for social impact around, you know, releasing potential. So it sort of builds as an organisation like that.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing is, without a question of a doubt, is you need to talk to people who are involved, or you need to go and visit a prison. And you need to go and visit one of the academies to understand. I came away from my visit to Only, it blew me away. And of course, you know, the CEO, I'm going to be really engaged in that. Claire and Jodie, who you'll know from our business, and Zoe went to a prison on International Women's Day, a women-only, female-only prison. And the impact that had on them in terms of their now view of this, about what we can do and how we can help many, many people has really changed. And I think the question you're going to ask me is about squashing some negative perceptions.
Yeah.
I'm not sure we necessarily have to squash it. I think it's sort of, you know, I think the positive side of it evolves. I think there are some misconceptions and you have to talk through that. And there is also giving people understanding of the process we go through to make sure that the people who come into the business from prison are the right,
yeah,
the right fit. They're able to you know, hopefully more able to adapt. And also, just from a safety perspective, looking at their background. And, you know, you have to be honest about that. We do look at,
yeah,
the prisoner's background and understand that and make sure that, you know, the people we are bringing through are the right people and are going to have the best chance of succeeding. And to me, it's all about setting up for success. I think when people see and hear and feel it and speak to people who have come out of prison and their lives have been turned around, are then very passionate about helping, and that percolates through the whole organisation.
Yeah. I think also it's aligning our programme with other initiatives already in the business. We're not coming up with something completely different or asking them to do a different process when it comes to recruitment. We're trying to simplify, align it. We just heard about International Women's Day. We also did something with Kick It Out as well. So we're aligning some of the other partnerships we got. We're bringing it together. We're collaborating. We get suppliers on board. It goes much further than just our partnership and others. It's like we can really, we've talked about movement before, haven't we? And it's really how you take everybody, yeah, on that journey. So it's trying to do that so then the managers can see that it's not a separate program sat over there. It's delivering something different, absolutely. But from a manager's point of view, it's easier to implement.
Yeah, and I think it's like you said, it's that commercial aspect, isn't it? We're not do-gooders. We're an industry and a charity that, yep, do good.
Yeah, and that's the most powerful bit when you hear that story of somebody, how they're reconnected with family. They've got employment. Like, he's gone on to now support the wider area in terms of the pub. So that's brilliant. And you can see the impact directly through one individual, and just hearing about the wider support and that relationship building with friends and family.
That's when we all win. And then, yeah, going back to your point about commerciality, and I think this is true of any partnership,
yeah,
is you've got to have sort of aligned interests, but you've got to have, I think, you know, a benefit for the pubs. And that benefit is they get really great members of staff.
Yeah.
And they feel, you know, they're good about what they're doing for society and social mobility. But when you get both a really strong partnership with everyone passionate about it and a benefit to the business, that's when it works.
Yeah.
And actually, I think that is very true of McMillan's, very true of a partnership with only five minutes away.
So what's the number for the end of 2026, your target? This is like your appraisal, Graham.
This is like my appraisal. Do I say it's going better or worse than my normal? Oh, no, it's all good.
I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll sit down with you afterwards.
Oh, thank you. Look, we want to achieve the same numbers as before, but it's not. The employment is really important. We want to keep exceeding those numbers and keep recruiting more people. But it's how we actually just continue to engage. There's so many different ways to measure it. Like, from the academy, we want to get more people through. We want to now start seeing more people being released from those prisons that have gone through and got, yeah, those qualifications, move into employment with us. But we're also keen to get more employers on board. We're like, because we need more employers.
Yeah.
It's great that we've recruited 350 and we can see how many sites we've got engaged. But we still try and do our bit to encourage more people to actually give somebody a chance. And just by offering an additional one opportunity to somebody that's come through a prison, that would be amazing. And it would make such a difference to what we're trying to achieve as a wider industry.
We always talk about numbers, and I think numbers are important.
Yeah.
It's about impact and about scaling that impact. And I think you're right, having more employers on board, the more we do that, the more the process of being able to get people out of prison will become normalised. The political bit for me is we would do and we could do way more than we currently do. But it is really, really hard, and you probably, yep, won't say this, to take people through the process to, you know, for all the reasons that you know about, it's blooming hard to get people out of prison,
yeah,
and to make this smooth and to make this easier for people. So I think, you know, government has a responsibility, and I know they're working towards it, to try and make that process easier. And I know you tell them all the time what those things are,
yeah,
and it's about them listening, about them putting them into action, because it is incredibly difficult from the conversations I've had,
yeah, yeah,
to get people out in the right environment, in the right frame of mind, in the right accommodation.
Yeah.
And frankly, you guys are doing the stuff in some ways that government should be doing.
Hmm.
You're filling a gap, which is great, but actually, you know, a combination of Only Payments Away as a charity, some of the other charities we work with, the government departments that are involved in this, it could be much easier. and it could be more effective, and we could have more people coming out of prison into meaningful employment. Therefore, we have to work together to make that happen.
We could get so many more through. And I think, like Graham said as well, it's not the numbers as numbers per se. It's the fact that we have the potential to do a lot more, not because we want to say we've done 1,000. It's because there are 1,000 people we can help.
We'll never be happy. We always want to achieve more. So that's the key point here. But we often talk about the partnership and the work that you do. And that's that bit around we're paying for that, for a service, which is absolutely adding so much value to our programme. Yeah. But what Nick's saying is that, government need to find other ways to... We talk about breaking down barriers for people gaining employment, but break down more barriers for employers. And if you make things simpler, or you look at your funding mechanisms, then actually that will open up more opportunities, which will then tackle some of the challenges about employment for those that are coming through the prison system.
And I'll never forget, and you were there, Greg, one of the members who'd come through and worked in one of our pubs in London, won't say which pub it is, when we met the then prisons minister to talk about what was happening. And this young man, incredibly brave young man, spoke very eloquently but very, very directly to that minister to talk about what the barriers are when he came out of prison and ultimately ended up in a good job. But, it was really quite tough for him to get there. And if they can find a way to make that better, find the way to make that easier, then I think there's employers like us and many, many more employers who will work with you and work with your charity to make this happen.
Another area, events and campaigns. I know you probably both think, why don't I just put at the top the subject heading a favour?
Get a checkbook out, Nick.
Yeah, I'm on the scrounge again. But you do so much. You know, what's your favourite one?
I'll let Nick go first because I've got an idea what he's going to say.
I like all of them, but I like Cook and Dine, as you know.
Yeah,
I think I've done every one since I came back into the industry, and it's like the one event I say to my PA, just that, that's the one I go to,
Yeah.
And I love it. Look, tons of reasons. One is I like doing what we do at Cook and Dine. Yeah. I enjoy it. Two is I just think it shows connection to, to what we're trying to do. And I think you have to front up to that and be seen to be doing it as well. But I do it because I really, really enjoy it.
Yeah.
And you meet some great people. I've met some great contacts through it.
Yeah.
And it's people I know who we're serving. People take the piss, frankly, when you're serving them. But I quite like that. And there's always a bit of competition about raising money with Katie Moses, which is always good fun from tips. But that's definitely my favourite. And the other reason it was my favourite last year was one of our team members who'd come through the process, come out of prison, got a job in one of our kitchens. And I saw him, and it was just one moment where I thought, this is working. Where I went into the kitchen and saw him standing next to Tom Aitkins, cooking with the intensity of a Michelin star chef. Serving, getting food ready and serving food. And that just hit me going, I don't know how many years ago it was, he was in prison. Now he's standing next to Tom Aitkins serving Michelin star food.
Yeah.
That's what makes it.
Yeah.
So, and that's what can happen. So that's my favourite, long story. But
And this would embarrass you as well, but I think that drives back to culture. So I remember a few years back when you went in the kitchen and one of your guys was working in the kitchen and he said to me afterwards, "So what does Nick do with Green King?" Nick works for Green King, is he? Has he got
what does he do?
Yeah.
It does, right? We're all in it together. Yeah,
I think that just epitomises the Green King culture. Your favourite event, Graham?
Yeah, I mean, Cook and Dine's
great.
Which
one do you like sitting at?
I'd love to be involved on Cook and Dine, but I have the execs on a rotation now. I'm not rotating Nick because I do like my job. It's always trying to make sure that it's a brilliant event. It's the industry coming together. It's a really powerful day, isn't it? You guys start a lot earlier than what we do, but getting everything ready. But just to see everybody there and then everybody connecting afterwards as well. But I think something different from that, I think, is food for thought, because that day is very much around raising some money. And then we're fortunate enough to go to some of the community kitchens and do some volunteering and meet people that have overcome some other challenges, and just do something in the community to give back, I think, is a different angle and just shows a different side to the partnership that we got.
And Nick, CEO Sleep Out.
Is he signed up for next year?
I will, obviously, but... It was hard. I mean, I know you've done it,
yeah,
Greg, and I, again, I think this goes back to when you understand and start to understand just a little bit of the lived experience that people, homeless people go through or people in prison go through, you then start to understand and think about what you can do to help. And, you know, we were in a very protected environment, sleeping out overnight. It was cold, as like unbelievably cold. But I had some, you know, more coats on and more undergarments on, you know, than you can think about. And it was just horrendous. I mean, I love being around other people, but if you're homeless, you don't get that.
No.
It just really opened my eyes. And I think anyone who thinks they want to get involved in this, go and do the CEO sleepover and you'll understand much more about why you should be involved. And my approach, I have to say, when you speak to some of the people who, again, have been homeless and have come through that and have now got jobs and are involved with that programme, you then start to talk to them about, you know, how they get treated on the streets or how they did get treated on the streets. And actually, you know, you ask that question, which you probably always think you shouldn't ask, but okay, how should I act when I see someone who's homeless? Yeah. And you start to understand a bit more about what they do want, whether it's about giving them clothes, just providing things that they need more than just putting some money in. There's more you can do. And actually not just to walk straight past without acknowledging people who are homeless. And that's something I tried not to do now.
Before we go to the quick fire round, what's the message you guys want to give out to other hospitality leaders out there? What could they take away from it, both on your releasing potential, working with us?
There's sometimes a nervousness about getting involved, and I think the best way to do it, as we've often talked about, is just speak to people that are in this space and have a program or are in one of the prisons. You can speak to us to find out a bit more. You can come along and see us in action in a prison, which is the best way to learn and get an understanding. And we do have some people in our pubs that we can obviously, depend on location, are more than happy to share their story as well. It doesn't mean we want everybody first of all, we want everybody coming into the pubs, by the way, from a footfalls point of view. But it's just finding out more and being inquisitive. I think we often talk about, you know, we want people to be inquisitive, we want people to give it a go. Things don't always work out, but actually you will see the benefits come back. So just learn a bit more. And it's tough out there at the minute from a talent attraction point of view. It is improving, but it's like, I don't think you can ignore all the talent that's coming through the system for your business. So I'd definitely encourage people to find out more.
I think my simple message is, if you get involved in whichever way you get involved, actually, it can have impact on your business, which is really important. But if you're going to do it with conviction. Mm. And if you're going to do it with conviction, go and talk to some people who are impacted by it, because that'll give you an understanding of what the impact you will have on both people and your company.
And so the quick fire round, each one of you. Favourite meal to order at a restaurant, Nick?
I'm a nightmare because I just like all food and fish.
Oh.
Yeah?
Yeah, all fish. Look, when we do menus at work, I say, look, don't get me involved because I can't add any value because I just like food. So I can't differentiate. But yeah, look, I will always go fish.
Yeah, well, I'm the same. That just sounds bad now, doesn't it? But we're getting to that time of year, and just around the corner there's an amazing fish restaurant, which is like, I just walked past it this morning and I was like already having a nosy, thinking, oh, I should be popping there at lunchtime.
Yeah, busy lunch.
Mine would be steak. If you'd like to have dinner with any figure, past or present, who would it be?
Well, see, I am going to include you as part of it, right? But not like the main attraction.
Well, fish can be only put up for five minutes at a meal.
There is a reason for that.
Is he serving?
So I'm not going to go Nelson Mandela. I'm not going to go Barack Obama. I'm not going to go Winston Churchill, all those sort of things. I'm going to go, you know, you're there, right? But I'm going to invite Keir Starmer and the whole cabinet and sit there and watch them interact with you.
Well,
because I think that would be a really, really interesting dinner party, because my suspicion is you'd rip into them. And my suspicion is by the end of it, they're all going to be, you know, they're all going to get involved in Only a Pavement Away. So if I could ever do that, I would.
God, that's a hell of an accolade. Thank you.
Jeez, trying to think who I should invite to the same dinner and put them in the room.
But just every good to watch.
No.
Well, thank you.
With a few drinks.
A few drinks, yeah, later, yeah.
Yeah. Do you know, I'll probably say my granddad. He was always around food, drink, hospitality, but, you know, those local communities, networks. He knew everybody. It was one of those. And I think if you talk about what we're fortunate enough to do now and to have the conversation with him, and yeah, we're walking the streets of London around here and it's like a very familiar path, a lot of it. So yeah, I'd just probably say him.
Well, yeah. Describe Only a Pavement Away in one word.
You're vital.
Thank you.
reward him.
That I mean, this is, I'm going to go out and have a drink now.
All right, emotional.
Who would you like to hear on the next Service Success episode?
I think it'd be great to hear from more people that have actually benefited from the programme. You'll hear their stories firsthand, those that are willing to share it, and I think that's often more powerful than, with all due respect to me and Nick, talking about it, because you'll hear firsthand about the true impact it's had on their life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the add-on to that, it would be really cool if the next time you do this, someone on the back of this conversation or other conversations who've come to you and gone, I'm going to get involved, could then talk about that process of getting involved and why they got involved, just to try and create that inspiration for others.
Yeah, no, it's good. Yeah. Well, a big thank you to you both for joining us today. Thank you to our sponsors, Stonegate Group. If you're listening out there, Mr. McDowell, then...
Thank you, David.
So keep your ears and eyes peeled for the next session of this. So thanks very much, guys. It's been great.
Thank you. Great to be here.